Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
My name is David Wynn. I taught for 10 years at Moorhead, and then I've spent the last 11 or 12 at Holmes Middle School. And I guess Justin back there, you were in there. I didn't get the pleasure or unpleasure of teaching you, but I did teach your two kids. I taught Tyler and I taught Laura, and we ended up here kind of a funny way. Janet's friends with Annie Kate back there, and when COVID hit, we wanted to meet in person. And everybody is meeting online, and y'all gonna find out in a minute I have no tech ability whatsoever, and I don't get much out of that. So Jen said, "Hey, there's a church that's meeting outside." And we said, "That sounds good to us." And we live in Horse Pasture, Virginia now. We used to live in Eden, so this was about as close as anywhere we could go anyway. So we came here, and when we came the first time, Laura was there, and I taught Laura. And I teach a lot of things in class besides just science. And one of the things I tell my students is the two most important choices you're going to make, first and foremost, is Jesus. You got to choose Jesus. Second most important thing is who you're going to marry. Laura didn't listen very well. but then I come here, and I don't normally, I'm a little older. I actually was teaching at 16, so I'm not that old. But I don't normally, I think I'm a little wiser than some young people, so I don't normally, I wouldn't be listening to a pastor TJ's age for that much. But I came here and I started listening, and one thing that he does is he preaches the whole gospel. And we're going to find out in Africa, that's not preaching the whole gospel has gotten them in a heck of a situation, at least the part I work in. And TJ, I don't always leave here feeling good about myself. I wish I did. But I always leave here challenged. And as long as we do that, as long as we keep that, but as soon as you get away from that, boy, you give the devil a real good foothold, and he'll move in and really start taking you where you think you want to go, which isn't really where you want to go. So anyway, that's my little preamble. I work with two organizations. One of them is Love Africa, which is based here in the U.S. The other is CIOTA, which is a refugee-led organization, mostly from people from Congo. And I started working with this, but I worked with Love Africa since, I think, maybe 2011. And we've been to Kenya, we've been to Zambia, we've set up ministries, but I think it was maybe 2015, I got connected with CIOTA, and they said, "Look, we got no one that comes here," but they found out what we did and said, "Would you bring a team and come see what we have in Uganda?" And even though we're in Uganda, we're working at a refugee settlement with mostly people from Congo and South Sudan and Burundi. And if you think we are sometimes persecuted for the Lord. South Sudan and Congo, I mean, Boko Haram, Joseph Kony, I mean, these are evil people. And they're just running roughshod over those people there. So anyway, the refugee, they had to flee. And Uganda's the closest country, and Uganda's peaceful and fairly stable by Africa standards, so they just rushed in there. My first year there, we had a little over 40,000 refugees. Now there's 120,000 refugees. It's the third largest refugee camp in the world, and the first largest is also in Uganda. In northern Uganda. Right now, Congo is stabilized. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But South Sudan, they're really struggling. And so they're coming from, that's north of Uganda. So that camp is called Bidi Bidi, and it's really, really, I think it's got over 200,000 now and still growing. So we started working with them, and one thing led to another, and then we ended up in a wonderful ministry with wonderful people. And I want to, you have the video up? I want you to look at this video first. And as I'm talking, I'm a teacher. If you've got a question, I'm going to stay after and answer some individual questions. But there's something that a picture or something that you really want to know, just let me know because I don't mind answering it. I've got way more to say than I can even say, so I'm going to try to focus on the big stuff. But look at this video. We made, before you started, we went there this summer for the first time to Congo. That's where the problem started. And my buddy, who you're going to see on the video there, his name is Benson, he had been telling me for years, he said, David, one day we need to go to Congo. One day we need to go to Congo and work with the people there. They're wonderful people. So I said, okay, I'm ready to go. He said, we can't. It's not safe. Next year, he'd say the same thing. I said, let's go. He says, not safe. Last December, we were in Uganda, and he came, and we were talking, and he said, David, I think the time is right. It's safe. And I was able to convince 9 other people to try it with me, and we were getting ready to go. And that's when, right when we were had all our plans, and we were supposed to go in at the middle of June, and then end of May, the volcano erupted. And then I got in contact with Benson. I said, Benson, what's this going to do? He said, well, David, most of the lava went the other way into Rwanda, so we're still okay to come. And that's when I reached out to TJ about maybe helping tell you what you did, the result of it. But you guys, y'all, I couldn't believe when he told me how much it's sending. That money went straight, every penny of it went straight there. I never touched it. They have an account there. And it helped 50 families. And you think $500 helping 50 families. In Africa, each family's got 12 or 15 people in it. So that's a lot of people that was impacted. So a little bit of money goes a long way, and it was food. And you'll see some of the people on here in just a minute. So show the video if you don't mind. And I'm the good-looking guy in there that you'll see.
Our country is unstable. With the conflicts, millions dying, children are orphans, there's too much poverty, the infrastructure has been destroyed. Partnering with Love Africa, a mission of good people who love God and fear Him, who have come so that we can work together to transform this great country.
This is David Wynn, and we are wrapping up our first ever exploratory trip for Love Africa Mission to the Congo. The only two words I can think of is amazing and unbelievable. Congo is the geographical, spiritual, and resource heart of Africa. It's also the source of a lot of the problems. But what the people here know is Congo is also the answer. We are partnering with an organization called CIOTA, which stands for Kabore's International Youth Organization to Transform Africa. We're so excited to partner with them and to help them realize the dream they have of transforming not only Congo, but Africa. We would love to have you to join us. In fact, if you don't, you're going to miss the opportunity of a lifetime. We have every ministry you can imagine here in this beautiful country, and we would love for you to join us in person, but even if not, maybe you could support us and learn more about our ministries. All I can say is, see you soon.
I think I sound so cool, but then I'll hear myself, and my students have to listen to that all year, every day. But God's okay with it, I guess. When you look at that and you see all the people, you see all the smiles and stuff, in all my trips to Africa, what I notice first is the poverty. But after a little bit of time, you don't see the poverty anymore. These are people with dreams, with goodness, and with love. But the poverty sometimes is all people talk about. And when I come back and talk to people about Africa, I don't really stay with the poverty that much. Now, you can see there's poverty there, right? So I don't have to tell you that. But there's so much, so much more there. And this place is special because it's the center. TJ mentioned about how big God is. Let me tell you what God is everywhere. And he is there in a mighty way. But if you're going to be a missionary, and I'd love for some of you guys to go with me at some point, you got to be a missionary here first. You know, there are many, many needs right here in this community. And we have a youth group that kind of keeps us from being as involved here as we want to. But God has put us somebody now to transition it to. We have other leaders. We're actually in the process of transitioning this leadership over to another group. And this, I can't bring them kids here. I'd love to bring them here. I know y'all would love to have them, but they're real at-risk kids, and they can barely get a ride to our church, which is right in the middle of the church that we have the youth. We don't go to that church, but we have our youth there. They asked to keep them there. So anyway, we're transitioning them over now, so it's going to free up some to be get some more involved. But the point is, you cannot be doing mission work to the ends of the earth unless you're in Jerusalem first. And Acts says that very clearly. So I want to go through here. My buddy made that video. We took a guy who's real good with videography with us. And then Janet made this PowerPoint. I think I can click it, but where's the clicker? Here it is. I think I can click and make it work. Yes, I did. You saw that on the video. You saw that town, Bunagana. Bunagana is the genesis of the conflict. This is where, you'll see in a minute, over 5 million people have died in this conflict. More people than the Holocaust. But nobody knows it. Because they're poor African people and the world doesn't care. If this was Americans or Europeans, it would be everywhere. But unfortunately, not a lot of people care. And you see here, the reason, it's a beautiful place. Y'all like bananas, pineapples, avocados. That's what you eat there. If you go with me, you eat a lot of that. They just pull them off the trees there. But anyway, up under that is even more beautiful. It's about $27 trillion worth of minerals, of natural resources. And that's good and bad. Y'all know where the bad can come, right? Because you've got a lot of money. And China's over there, full force. I'm sure we're over there, even though they didn't want to show me the Americans because they thought I'd take it personal. Germany's over there, Russia's over there. And kind of what they're doing is they're raping the country of their minerals. They'll weaponize this rebel group, weaponize the same, like China, like us too. I'm not going to. The people that want these minerals will give weapons to this group and this group. Y'all kill each other. Both of y'all paying me with mineral resources. We're getting rich. It's the mostly the minerals that go into, I forgot what they're called. I teach about minerals. I should. Rare earth minerals. Those things that go in computers and technology, cobalt and all that stuff. That's what's there. They know of $27 trillion is there. So why is the country stuck in poverty? But we're going to talk about that in a minute. And TJ talked about it a couple, maybe last week. But you got to transform your mind. It's all here. The poverty's here. And Benson is going to help with that. And this mountain here, we hiked up to the top of that and looked over. And you see those two military guys that were in the video? They went with us every step of the way. Now, even though it's safe, they said they were going to make sure we were going to get there, move through the country, and get back safely. So we got to know those guys pretty good. But on the way up there, we stopped at the head military guy, and he said he took all our cameras, all of our phones, cell phones, stuff. He said, you can't take pictures of what's on the other side. Now, it wasn't anything over there but just land, but that's where the rebels come from. And it's an international UN-type thing. So we just had to leave our stuff there. And the rebels came over there, and anybody seen Hotel Rwanda? The Hutus and the Tutsis, that's where it started. And just because there's a border that says, hey, this is Rwanda, this is Congo, that was made by Europeans. Belgium did that. But the tribes, you still got, you know, it's the same tribes, you know, half of them might be in Congo, half may be in Rwanda. And so when a tribal ethnic conflict comes out, borders don't matter. It's all about you're Hutu, you're Tutsi, I'm going to kill you. No, I'm going to kill you. That's that mindset. So this, you know, even though Rwanda's where it kind of started, it was all because of tribalism. And that's where they came from. And this guy, Benson, he saw him in the video. Hopefully, if COVID clears up, he'll come in the spring. If he does, I'd love to bring him here. Got the best vision of any man I've ever met. He is the most humble man I've ever met. He could be living here in the U.S. now. He got a scholarship and got educated in the U.S., but he went right back to Congo, and he's living right there. I can't talk to him but about once a week because he has no electricity, and he's got to go somewhere to get electricity to be able to WhatsApp. Yeah, I can do some WhatsApping on my phone, and I can talk with him. But his vision, if you look at it there, is to, he always underlines three words, love, unity, and peace. Ephesians 4 says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And what his dream is, his vision, is to bring love, unity, and peace to Congo. Congo's in the center of Africa, and it's huge. It's about as big as half of the U.S. That's good and bad, too. It's mostly jungle. You can't police that. Now, even the military, you can't get there. There are places there that no one's been. We had a guy come to us while we were there. He works with the church there that I'll tell you about in a minute. And he's been he had malaria real bad, African guy. And he said, I really want y'all to come and help us reach unreached people groups. These are people groups that have not seen any outsiders ever. He said, we've got a helicopter that some medic something, helicopter drops you off, and you just got to survive for a month, and they pick you back up, and you're supposed to reach unreached people groups. I didn't sign up for that. I'm pretty adventurous, and I'm pretty bold. Janet's one might do that. I'm pretty bold, but I didn't sign up for that one. But the point is, and TJ said at the beginning of this, you know, the gospel is being preached to the whole world. And where was I going with that? Oh, they want to spread the gospel through the whole Congo to bring unity, peace, and love. And they know the only way that can happen is through the teachings of Jesus Christ. You're not going to bring peace through anything that's of man, because we just don't like to get along. We just don't. I sit there, and Janet tells me a lot of times to be quiet because I'm always arguing about masks and about this and about that. And she's like, you know, why don't we just focus on the good stuff? Well, our nature a lot of times is to point out what's not right and go there. Well, this guy doesn't do that. This guy's always looking for a solution. And his name is Benson Wareji, or Wareji Benson. I don't know. They put the family name in a different place than I was. They thought her name was Wynn for like 2 years because it's Janet Wynn. Well, they put the last name first. So they said, David, how are you and Wynn doing? I guess we're doing fine. I don't know. I am. But this is the guy who's really behind this. All I really do is just try to get the word out for him while he's doing the work. And this is the volcano here. And when I called TJ, I don't know, did you look it up, TJ, and see what? You got to vet me, make sure I'm telling you the truth, right? Please do. I always vet people. I tell my kids all the time, if you don't bring your Bible, then I control you. Because I can tell you anything this Bible said if you ain't got yours there. TJ could lead y'all astray if you don't bring that word and hold them accountable to it, right? And that's, this volcano is called Uyingongo. We always do a fun day on our trips, a safari or something. Well, for this trip, we were going to hike this thing. And then they, May 20, whatever it was, I guess we won't be hiking this thing now. Right? But that's just a lava field. Now, this was still smoking. I did bring home some lava. I showed my students last week, and they really got excited. They got the whole little pieces of lava that just come out. But that's just a lava field. And the money that you guys sent helped these people. How they built that church to that good, but that the floor there, that's lava. Can you tell on the floor? That's the black lava. About 900 people are in that church. And I don't know how many were in there when we were there. I'm back here somewhere behind this stuff. And they fed us everywhere we went, and they don't have much. And so I'd go like four churches a day. All pineapple, which is good food, but after a while, you just can't eat but so much of that stuff. But anyway, that church, you're talking about dancing. And this one right here, you need to go to Africa with me. I don't know your name. But every one of them's like you. They all over the place dancing. They're so excited, so filled with the Holy Spirit. They'll always ask me to preach. I don't care how many times. I don't care however long it goes. I always have to say something. And most of those speak French. Now, in Uganda, they speak English. So when we go to Uganda and teach, it's a little easier. Here they speak French because it was colonized by Belgium. And one of our big goals of what we're supposed to do is to teach them English. So they say, preach in English, and I'll interpret. And that's always an exciting thing. And everything that I say, they jump up and clap. You ought to go, TJ, because you will love it. You know, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. You know, it's raining outside. Hallelujah. You know, so that's good. I say about 15 minutes or something. Well, I know what I say, but they interpret 15 minutes or something. But it's just so exciting, and you see the energy there. But there's lots of stuff under that. The church in Africa is very corrupt, especially in Congo. In Congo, remember I told y'all that you can't police that country because it's so big and so full of jungle. The church is basically the law. Now, what do they say about absolute power? It corrupts absolutely, right? And what has happened over the decades and centuries is the church has become the de facto military. They've become the government. They've become the leaders. And these church people are held to, I'm talking about, almost godlike stature. And so what happened is the church split. Now, we have church splits all the time, but their church split where they, you know, they kill each other when they split. And so the church split into two groups, basically Hutus and Tutsis. If you really get down to it, part of them were led by this tribe, part of them were led by that tribe. So every position, you had two. They didn't interact at all. They didn't talk. And that's a big part of the conflict because one side would side with one group of rebels. The other side of the church would side with the other group of rebels. And so the church was, well, just like our church mirrors society, right? Right here in the U.S. You know, we got churches who are ordaining lesbians and gays. And this, whatever the society thinks okay, the church thinks okay, almost, unfortunately. Well, over there it's the same way. And so you're getting, and this was, it's been, it's systemic, and it's entrenched. So how do you fix that? How does a little white guy from America, young white guy, by the way, how do we go over there and fix that? Well, the answer is we can't. Love Africa can't fix any of Africa's problems. Africa's problems have to be fixed by Africans who have grabbed a hold of Jesus Christ and hold on with every ounce they have. And that's what Benson and this group, Seota on this side, that's what Seota's doing. That's why we're partnered with them. Because, you know, if we go over there with our ways and our understanding, you know, they'll take money from us anytime. They'll take money from us anytime, but it won't change anything. And that's why what we're doing is something a little different. Oh, by the way, I have a picture of a guy here. One of the guy's families, got my Bible somewhere. They took a picture before we got there of each of the families. And what we did while we were there is there were 10 of us. And so we went to 10 homes. The homes, now, they're just a roof, no walls, and a lava on the bottom. And just a roof. But anyway, this guy, and I'll let y'all see it afterwards, this guy is who I got to pray with. And it's him and his wife. He's got two children. And they were part of the ones who got the money from us to help keep their family afloat. This was a small family, actually. They're very young. And so we prayed with them and he showed me his little home. And they can't grow anything because the lava has covered everything up. And so the need is still ongoing. The UN has come in, but y'all know that Pioneer's resources beat the UN resources there. It did. I don't know how that happened, but he said they distributed UN food now, but our food was distributed first. Now, I don't know God's not keeping tally up there, but it was kind of a cool aside. All right, let me make this work again. Okay, here's this place here. We walked every day all around the village. There's no electricity. There's really very little transportation, so you got to walk. Now, it's not a huge village, but about 10,000 people, but we walked all around it. And you see those little humps? It's about the third or fourth day. That's the walk from where we slept to the school. So I went to the school about every day. So we're walking around, and one of the ones that helps him, his name is Moses. Moses said, David, be careful, because I might have stumbled or something. I said, what is this anyway? He said, oh, those are graves. And they said, we had nowhere to bury people. Nowhere, you know, so many people died, so they just buried them. They got no other land. So anyway, there's, like, on the way to school, you might walk over 50 of them humps. Now, how many people are in each one, I have no idea. But it's kind of a surreal feeling to know you're walking over people. And the world doesn't know those people, and most of the world doesn't even care about those people. And by the way, there's no expendable kids. I tell that in education. There's no expendable souls either, right? The devil wants every single soul to kill, steal, and destroy, and God wants to redeem every soul. And these souls, you know, they're just as valuable. These kids here, I'm the one, can you tell which one's me? These little kids are from the village called Turi. Unfortunately, there's still one part of Congo that's still having violence. It's the northeast quadrant. It's called Turi. And this was maybe the first of the year, sometime around Christmas, a little after. Benson contacted me, said, David, there's been violence in Turi. And he said, can I send you some pictures? He sent me pictures, and I would never show these pictures to y'all. But these kids are laying there, and their parents are beheaded. One of these little girls was nursing on her mother. And the kids are just there. And he said, Dave, what, you know, this is what we want to do. See with Love Africa will help us. We want to bring those kids to Bunagana, which is about an eight-hour trek through the jungle. We want to get as many of them as we can and bring them to Bunagana and just see if we can get people to take them in. And that town, which already is super poor, they've taken in these kids. It's different families. So we got to go and visit all the families that have these kids. And those kids, so much trauma. Now, you see them smiling. And when I'm not a counselor. My wife is a counselor. Me, a kid's got a problem, I say, shut up and deal with it. We got to do science today, you know. They'll come in crying. I said, come on, Tyler, don't tell me how your mama's beating you and stuff. I don't want to hear about that. Let's do your science, you know. But these kids, they need way more than I can give them. Any of you guys are good at listening, or you're counselors, or you're just full of compassion. You know, compassion's one of the gifts, right? I didn't get a big dose of that. But if you got that, that's what these kids need. They just need to be hugged and loved. But I can't imagine what's going through the little minds of what they saw. But those are the kids that got the latest violence. So that was the problem. It's always fun to talk. I mean, not fun. It's easy to talk about the problems, right? Jen always tells me any time that I'm talking about something, what you going to do about it? I don't want to talk about that. I just want to tell you what needs to be fixed. What are you going to do about it? But you don't understand. This is a problem. What are you going to do about it? Well, that's what, don't be shaking your head like that. But Benson, they have how. This is how they're going to do it. His vision is to train 1 million youth in Congo, firmly and based on the teachings of Jesus Christ, and get them into positions of leadership. Praise God, one of our guys is now he's second in tourism. So he's right under the minister of tourism in Uganda. His name is Solomon. He has risen to that. TK, which is our CEO, not TJ, but TK, he is recognized by United Nations. He gets to do things and spread the word. Joseph Munyambanza, some other big. So we've got people put in big places, and that's the goal. He said, Americans can't come here and fix us, but we got to get people grounded in the word that love Jesus with all their heart and willing to stay uncorrupt. Pure and go into those positions. That's how you change the country. And his vision is to train 1 million youth and send those youth out. Each one has to train 100. I'll get to that picture in a second, but let me read this verse. And TJ, I think you talked about this either last week or the week before. Transform, that's a powerful word, transform, right? Conform, that means do what you're doing. Transform means do what God wants you to do here. And this is Benson's kind of his key verse. We know Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, Paul talked about, I think it was 1 Corinthians, where he said, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Well, if you look up here, the reason the cross don't make a lot of sense to people, to some people, see that word then, and I'm not one who picks apart every word, every individual word in the Bible, because I know it's been translated a bunch of times. But that word then, I think, is there for a reason, because it says up there, you got to transform your mind, you got to renew your mind, because only then will you be able to know what God wants you to do. Until you have the mind of God, until your mind is filled with him and seeking him, you're not going to know right and wrong. Because we were talking this morning, Jen and I, where if somebody hurts me, every fibre of my body thinks it's right to hurt them back. That's fair, right? We all understand fair. And she was like, no, you got to treat them like you want them to treat you. Well, I'd want them to cut me a break. Well, why, you said you just want to get them back? Because that's what I want. And that's why that mind has to get transformed. And so what Benson and TK and Joseph and all of them are doing, they're trying to transform the minds. And let me tell you what, I would say raise your hand if you're over 50, but that I'd have to raise my own hand. So, if you're older, it's harder to transform your mind. Is that an amen? Y'all guys, y'all are much easier to change y'all's minds than you get older. So we're focusing, we're not forgetting the older pastors, but we're focusing on the young pastors. The average pastor there is over 60 years old. Probably the same here, probably. But they're focusing on, and we got to get the young pastors. The older people, we're just not going to change their mind. They're too steeped in tribalism. They hate Hutu so much because so much has happened to their families, that changing that is not really going to happen with that generation. So we're focusing on the young ones to try to transform the country by transforming the mind, because, you know, you take every thought captive to Jesus, then you can make a good choice. And I've had pastors before, you maybe help me, TJ. If you think a sinful thought, is that sin? Or is it sin when you act on it? I hope it's when you act on it. If not, I'm in trouble. It's like, I didn't do it. I almost did it. I wanted to. But transforming that mind is where the answers are. And this is just, I'll go quick through that, but the schools, all the schools in Africa basically look like that. And actually with COVID, they do try to get them to spread apart a little bit. Places I've been, there's been like 5 kids in one of them little benches with pencils about this big and just as happy as they can be to be there. It's fun. If y'all want to go, by the way, we spend a lot of time in the schools with these kids. Right, this is a place, this is a Think Africa Center. And I just see the people there, because the next one will show you a little more. This is what we're trying to finish. This is going to be the center of where this transformation of teaching is going on. Now, the teaching is going on right now. I didn't put it up there. I actually took it out because I didn't want to have too many. Right now, it's going on in a rock, on top of this rock outside. We do want a place, because this part of Africa is right on the Virunga Mountains, where the mountain gorillas are, and it rains. It's a rainy season, and it's hard to meet outside consistently without getting soaked. But I'll go back one. But this place, though, that's where they come, and everybody meets, and all the training's going on. And we're trying to build that place to give a more permanent place. And that's the vision, to train everybody. I'll go back the wrong way. And so we've made progress on that. He's down now. I sent him 2,000 last week. 3,000 more, and the roof's going to be built. Now, that was taken in July, so he's going to send me a picture when the roof's on it. Once the roof gets on it, they're going to go straight at it. But when they first bought Benson, when he got trained 1 million people, this Think Africa, we started with 30, and he bought in 30 kids. These kids are out of high school age. They pick the top. When you have limited resources, you got to work from the top down. And I take some people to Africa, and they feel so sorry. I say, why is this kid not taken? Why is this kid not taken? If you got limited resources, you got to take the top, empower them, and let them go and do the work. So that's the way Think Africa is based. But he brought those 30 people in. He intentionally got different tribes. He said it was over a month before those different tribes would even come into that. The bottom of that has a little, it's like a basement. He said it was over a month before they would even come sit in the same place with each other. And then as he started talking, he said, after a while, they said, why do you hate this one so much? And he said, they never could answer. Because they're who, you know. Well, but why? What have they done to you? Well, their grandfather did this. What did they do to you? And they got to the point where now they're together and they're embracing each other. And it's taken a long time to change. You know, transforming the mind just doesn't go overnight. Pastor Wayne Johnson, do you know Wayne, TJ? He was my mentor, yeah. Wayne taught me about everything I know about up to that point till he died. But anyway, he set up, it's easier to act your way into a new way of thinking than to think your way into a new way of acting. Which means it's easier to change this than this change this. This is a stubborn old hard-headed thing right here. And Benson knows that. And so he's trying to, look, let's just start sitting together first. You ain't got to like them. Let's just sit here together first. And slowly, the mind starts being transformed. But it takes time. And this is where it's going to happen. And so I did find out a guy wants to go with me in December. And he's an older guy. He was a deacon at his church. And his church, he said, we got too old. There were no young people, so they decided just to dissolve the church. So now there's another church. But he said we had a lot of buildings. And they're selling the buildings one by one. And the deacons have decided every building they sell, they're going to take all the money and give it to a ministry in another country. And he called me and he said, who do you think? You think Ciota? Think this would be a good fit? Heck yeah, yes, this would be a great fit. So he's praying about that too, because we might be able to finish this with just that one contribution. But anyway, that's the vision. And here's the last thing I want to tell you. Why right now? And I don't know if you looked at that, TJ, but you were talking this morning about the end times. I do not know whether Jesus is coming next week. I'm not a prophet. Or next year. But I do know one of two things is going on. Either he's coming real, real soon, or God is preparing us for a great revival and awakening. It's got to be one of those two. There's no way we could be dealing with what we're dealing with if one of those two aren't true. And so why do we do this right now? Well, flip back to last December. Last December, Janet and I were in Uganda in the middle of COVID. If y'all think COVID is tough where you are, try to get on a plane and go somewhere. They worried the bejeebies out of me the whole time on that plane. Can you drink? The food ain't no good anyway. And I got to eat that bad food with a mask on. You know, you got to be tested. I don't care if you got a vaccine. I got the vaccine. And I still had to be tested. Got to be tested and all this stuff. But anyway, we got there. And there's a lake near there, Lake Albert. And we went there and took the kids there, the school kids, and had a little field trip thing. And we came back, and there's a lot of commotion at the school. And a guy will show you. Let me show you. I'll flip back to that one. This guy up there, you see me. Remember, good-looking guy in the middle. To my right, above the guy with the blue suit, his name is Gaston Mulera. He's the head of the Baptist church in Congo. I'm not talking about Pioneer Baptist or the Baptist. I'm talking about half of Congo. He's over about 800 churches. That's of the churches that have names. Anyway, he was there in the camp, along with a couple of the other ones. They had driven about 17 hours in a vehicle to come to Uganda. Well, Benson was there with me, the CEO guy, and Jen and I were there. We pull up, and then everybody was all excited because they knew him as he's right under the president of Congo, and then he's probably in the next two or three most influential people in Congo. He was there to see Love Africa, there to see us. Wow. I didn't realize how big it was till Benson told me. Well, we sit there and we listen to him, and they said, we know what y'all do. He said, we want y'all to come to Congo. All this great work you're doing here, why don't we go to the root of the problem and let's work on it there? Well, Gaston, it's not safe. He said, it's safe. I said, well, you can't just go to Congo. You got to be invited by someone in the government. He said, I will invite you. I said, well, we don't have place to stay. We don't know the I will take care of all that. Will you come? So we prayed about it, and we, I convinced 9 other people. They were about as crazy as I am. I said, let's go and see what's there. Some of the people that were there in the meeting actually went with me this past summer. And he is a Hutu. The one to his right, his name is Barnaby. He's a Tutsi. Though, remember I told you the church was divided? Those were the two leaders of the church. Those were the two figureheads. And Gaston had the vision. So Gaston is now the leader, and he's like his right-hand man. And for the first time in close to 100 years, the church is now united. So there's 3 reasons that we're working here now. One is the church is united. Second is they have a president who's trying to bring peace. Now, there's a lot of stuff still going on in the fringes, but he's dealing with the rebels, and they deal with them severely and quickly. And the third thing reason is because God put us in that position. Love Africa, our job is just to facilitate, is to bring together. We had a meeting there the last day, and that's where this meeting come from. There were 4 groups there. There was SEPSI, which is the church that they represent, SIOTA, which is this group, TL Africa, which is another very important group in Rwanda, Congo, and Uganda, and Love Africa. We were by far the least significant of that group. We couldn't do much at all. But I was supposed to be leading the meeting. I was the one that was directing it. And Benson told me about halfway through the meeting, he just reached over to me and he said, your job was to get us together. After about the first 10 minutes, I didn't talk anymore. They started, and they were fussing. They were saying, this is not how it's supposed to be. And they worked out a lot of stuff. And he told me afterwards, Americans, especially white Americans, are looked at as legitimate. We have some legitimacy. So by us coming there, not here, but there, so by going there, we actually got them. He said, our job really was just to go there and to show that we had the courage to go there and bring them together. And now they've met. They meet a week about every 3 weeks. They go down to Goma, which is the capital, and they meet there in Congo, and they're working all these things out. And the guy there, the big one I told you about, the one who was the head of it, he even said to me, and I was at, he said, look, I'm part of the problem. He said, my mind is so entrenched in that stuff. And they said, what we want y'all to do, CEO, not me, but this group, we want y'all to come in and help us transform the minds of our people based on the truth of Jesus Christ. If that's your goal and that's how you plan on doing it, now what can really stand between them? And he said, their goal is within 10 years not to even need us. He said, we don't need money. We got $27 trillion just under one village. We don't need money. But we do need some startup help to get the kids educated. Most of our resources that we send, except for the food stuff, of course, you got to keep them alive, is to train people. We invested in people, not in buildings and stuff that, the volcano can tear down again. We're trying to invest in people, get kids educated. We have access to almost 800 schools, I told you. I mean, churches, about 400 schools and 85 health clinics, all under that umbrella. So we're trying to take teams and trying to train people. I got a couple of doctors that now want to go, and they're not going to work on sick people very much. They're just going to train the local people. How do you deal with it? Their biggest problem, pray for this, is childbirth. They're losing close to 50% of their kids in childbirth, and the mothers. A great teacher that worked with us in Uganda, her name was Margaret. She was one of the best English teachers I'd ever seen. Between one of the 2 years I went, she died giving birth. The baby did survive, but she died. Because you got midwives giving out, and if a kid is, what do you call them when they turn around backwards? Yeah, or if you got to have cut your belly, none of that's going to happen. So that's one of the big things they ask for. But we're going to take doctors. So anyway, that's why we're doing it now. I don't know how we doing on time, because I have no... It's 11:35. That's not terrible. That's right? Well, that's so small. You did it on purpose so I know when to shut up, didn't you? TJ.
That's good. I didn't know it was there either.
I teach. I teach eighth graders, and if you get them to focus for 15, 20 minutes, you check your box and you go on and do something else. But let me tell you how I'd like you to help me, if you can. First of all, please pray. And y'all stepped up in such an amazing way. I just asked TJ, I didn't know. But next best thing I want you to do is go with us. The oldest person, I got a lady 75 that says she's going in next summer. I've taken as young as 15. I've also taken 68, one woman's going for the third time. She was 68 in her first trip, so 71, and she's going for the third time. A lot of teachers, we need teaching, we need social work, we need people that love on other people. Music, y'all guys that play music, when we go into a church, they expect we sing like Jesus Loves Me or something, but every one of us will get up and we'll kind of lead worship. Church lasts about 3.5 hours, so y'all give TJ a break, because over there, church is all day. Janet, even for her birthday was the other day, I ain't going to tell you how old she is, but she wanted a guitar. So I'm afraid she's going to learn to play that guitar, and she's going to try to get up there, and she can't.
They clap for whatever we did.
They do. They clap. But we, you know, I guess what I'm trying to get, any skill, any age, anything you got can be used there in a mighty way, because they're believing in holistic ministry. So one thing is go. Second thing is if you feel like supporting. Now, that Janet typed that. I can tell you, if you contact me, I can tell you a little more about that. But it's a little website, and you can just donate like y'all can do electronically. I don't really like to do that. But you can donate it takes $300 a year to put a kid in school. That's a uniform. They have to have uniforms in Africa. A uniform, two meals a day, pays the teacher, pays for some small school supplies. And that's not a lot, you know, for what it gives. But he said, David, $10 a month would totally change everything. Before COVID, the UN was giving each family about $10 a month. Now, family might be 15 people. But they could. It's amazing what you can do with that much money. But since COVID, it's been cut to about $6 a month. So that's 40% of it. On top of that, with COVID, they shut the markets down. So most of those people just grow food. Well, you got no market to take your food to. So that's cut too. So they can't send their kids to school. So we're identifying. We got those guys out in the villages identifying a top kid. Are you a top student?
Nope.
Okay. We'd leave you home. You smart? Say yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to come back and get you a couple years from now. But we're going to get that one first. And we're trying to find. And the other thing is girls. The most discriminated group of people on the earth. You can say Jewish, you can say black, is females still. The females in Africa are property. I could be rich now because I take a bunch of college girls over there. I could have so many cows and goats now, I could just stay in Uganda and retire. We lose girls every year. That we've got them, they'll be like, they call it P6, that's sixth grade. From P6 to P7, she's turned 12 or 13, and the daddy just marries her off to some man my age. And she's got no say in it. Congo was ranked the second worst country in the world to be a female. Number one, Syria. Congo's number two. Every girl in our camp that's been in Congo has been raped. Probably way more than one. And it's just okay. So, and they don't send the girls to school. So what we're doing is we're really trying to focus on girls. And Joseph, who was a scholar there, one of the saddest stories he told me is he said, all the way through school, through elementary school and stuff, he always finished second in every assessment. There was a girl there that beat him every time. She was so smart. She was so bright. And then one year, I forgot the year he told me, all of a sudden she was not there anymore. He became number one. He ended up getting a scholarship, went to Westminster College in Missouri. Now he's living in Utah. He's got a family. He's got a real good life. But he said, that girl, he never would have got that scholarship if that girl had been there. When he saw her in the village later, he said she wouldn't even look at him. She had a kid. I'm sure that she got him married off. And she would just drop her head every time she saw him. My daughter went to Duke. High, very successful. In Africa, she wouldn't, well, you knew it, Justin, didn't you? She wouldn't have been that in Africa. She'd have been sold for some cows. Because that would have been my mindset, because that's all I know. That's why you got to transform the mind about a bunch of stuff. And we can't do that by going over there and say, look, you can't treat your women like that. One, it might kill me. Best case scenario, they just send me home and not listen to me. So that's got to be changed from inside of Africa. That's part of the transforming that mind. So we really look to support girls a lot. My kids have raised money, and we got enough money to sponsor one kid. And next week, we're going to pick out a girl. They say, Mr. Williams, why do you like girls better than boys? I said, I don't. Girls get on my nerves, actually. but we're going to pick, and I explained to them, they said, oh, yes, we want to pick a girl out. By the way, she's the most lucky woman in the world. She's been married to me 37 years. Anybody that knows us knows it's the exact opposite about being the lucky one. But, you know, she's not property to me. I mean, she's the one who made me in what I am. But they just, you can have more than one wife. That's why AIDS is still a problem. In our villages, AIDS has gotten better. Typhoid, cholera. Malaria is not in Congo, that part of Congo, because it's too high in elevation. In Uganda, it's rampant. I got malaria a few years ago, and it put me in ICU. I was going to die. I didn't take my medicine, though. If you take your medicine, you will not get it. I thought I was Superman, and so I don't need any medicine because I'd been there so many times I thought it wouldn't matter, but it's real. And these people, when they came from Bunagana down into when they came from Congo down to Uganda, they'd never experienced malaria. So he said, if you're lucky enough to get there and not be killed with a machete or a bullet, then you die of malaria. They lost about half the people at that. So, is there anything, I know this is not normal in a church, but anybody have a question or something I put up there that you'd like to know that maybe would help everybody?
What does it typically cost?
All of our trips are $3,500. And what Love Africa, I don't handle that part of it. What Love Africa does is they set you up a site, and all money is tax deductible, so you can share it on social media and stuff. Out of that $3,500, $1,000 of it goes to the ministry. Our cost are flights. That's our cost, is to get over there. Our trips are about 2 weeks. It also includes a two-day safari. I've got all the videos I can show you about safari. I didn't want to put a safari video up here, and y'all think but it makes a lot of people say you shouldn't go on a safari on a mission trip. But we're really helping the economy there. And since I got a minute or two, I can tell you this story. A few years back, we try to find good partners and stick with them. And a guy named Gus had been our driver through the safari for a couple of years in a row. Well, each night at the safari, we do devotions among our team. And I was doing the devotion. I said, anybody got anything? Gus, I was getting ready to do it, actually. And Gus raised his hand. I said, what, Gus? He said, last year I heard these devotions. Anyway, he got saved. And he said, can I do the devotion? I said, absolutely, Gus. So he led the devotion that night. And so, you know, that's to say that, you know, you don't quit working for the Lord just because you leave the refugee camp. And we go see where the Nile River starts. Of course, all the animals you'll ever want to see. So it's a real cool, the boat safari. But it's $3,500. Do you have one?
I had two separate things. When you showed the church, there was like a red light bulb and a green bulb. What was the purpose of the colored lights in there? Is that like a decoration?
All the power they had there was a generator because the electricity wasn't there. It was a gas generator. And it's funny, I told you you'd love that worship. This girl here would love that worship because, I mean, they got electric guitars in the churches where they have electricity. So I think that's just the...
kind of a light show.
Yeah. Yeah, like disco. It's not really a church, it's a disco. We were, you know.
You were talking about them selling their daughters, I guess, to get cattle. So do they sell their daughters off to be able to feed their family? Because to me that seems like a one-time thing, like the cattle will go so far, but then their daughter's gone, but they're still hungry the next year.
I think it's like the dowry system. I think that's just what they do.
I think it's prestigious.
Okay.
Like,
so then I was thinking if you funded a way for like farmers to take care of the cattle, and it's like we were sending money over to the group to take care and raise the meat, and then they could give it away at that time.
And no, okay, I know your question.
So
No, it's not for the food or the money. It is for, that's what they do. And they're going to do that until we change the mindset. I could send them $10 million.
They have posters up everywhere that you do not have to have a man right now when you're young. You know, that they put them everywhere because
she is too young to marry. Monogamy. We got big
mindset.
Sexual sin is rampant there. It's a mindset.
They call themselves Christians, but their minds aren't in Christ the way that they just don't know. They think this is the way of life.
Now, I told you, if the church thinks it's okay, everybody under their umbrella will think it's okay. If TJ comes in and he gains our trust and he preaches anything, unless we're really solid ourselves, we're going to believe that, right? That's why the church has ended up like it has. Because it's fine in the church to marry your daughter off. It's fine in your church to rape a girl because that's what they do.
So they're really not grounded in the
Bible. No. And that's Benson's vision, is to train the young pastors, because the older pastors, and Gaston told me he wants to change his mindset. He says, "David, it's just hard." And I can relate to that, because there's some things that's ingrained in me that I really have a hard time flipping. So that's why we're focusing on the young people. And he said, within 10 years, if y'all still need us, then we failed. You said about giving them food. They preach sustainability. What Benson is talking about, said, we don't need the Western world. We got to take care of ourselves. And is God going to allow us to be part of it? I think he's pointing that direction to me, and that's great to be part of it. And this church, I got here by accident, and that problem came up, and you guys stepped forward, so I know your heart supported it. And I'm not mad. People tell me no all the time. She told me no like 15 times before she said yes, she'd marry me. So no doesn't bother me. I don't take it personal. But, you know, think about what God would like you to do if a family wants to adopt a kid, or three or four of y'all want to go together and adopt a kid. But know this, $5 a month, $10 a month does massive things in Africa. Like I said, $6 a month is what they're living on now, a whole family. So if you want to, and then we got two places. Also, last thing I'll tell you about, go. If you want to go with us, if you want to get your feet wet, in a place that's a little more stable, I'll take you to Uganda. I'm taking my first official team to Congo this winter. And so we hadn't been there as much. They'll have military escort. You will pee in a hole in the ground, and you'll take a bush shower, which means you'll pour some water over you. If you take your soap, you're good. If you don't take your own soap, you're just going to have to use the water. But it'll change your... First, it'll let you know how big God is and how powerful our Lord, and how compassionate our Lord Jesus is. And the second thing it'll do is let you see how blessed we are in this country, even on our worst day. And I know our problems are real, because problems are relative. I got a kid in my class who don't have a cell phone. They're going to think they're poor and they struggle, because every other kid around them does. But if you take them and send them in the middle of Africa, all of a sudden they're rich. So all that stuff is relative, and that's hard to get people to wrap their mind around. But when it comes to our spiritual growth, it's not relative. There's one Jesus right there. And if you ain't there, you got work to do. My last hint is, you ain't going to get there, okay? Just keep, I'm not going to say that. In your own strength, you're not going to get there.
The overall vision that you talked about with regard to the raising the children up, and training them, really reminds me a lot of the Hope Givers model.
I've actually seen that. I don't, my little small brain don't remember, but I've seen the Hope Givers, because it had something to do with children.
Exactly.
In fact, a doctor actually sent me some stuff to help with childbirth through Hope Givers, a doctor, Megan somebody, but she sent that to me.
I wonder if combining efforts, or at least getting information, they've already been established for several years, like for a long time in India,
I believe that's what she sent me, because she mentioned Haiti. But I hadn't looked at it closely, because she just sent it this past week.
It's the same idea. They're taking the children in off the streets of India, and they're trained. They're giving them schooling. They take care for them, and they raise them up, and then they send them out success rate with the kids that graduate there go out and become full-time pastors in the area. So then it
well, that's exactly what CEOTA is doing. Because the, and you, when you do that, you're going to get, like, those people can go out to the villages, and that one person that was trained will impact hundreds that we can't do by ourselves. And what else God has shown me with this is how insignificant I am, but also how important I am to do my little role. And what Benson told me, said, David, by the grace of God, this is going to happen with or without Love Africa. Y'all just going to help us do it a lot faster. And, you know, how can you really argue, not argue, how can you not want to be part of that? And you can pray, right, you know, just pray every day for, when you're doing your prayers, pray for CEOTA, it's called. It's, I think it's up there. So yeah, the last word over there, CEOTA. And you got my email there. I do read my emails. I'd rather you give me a phone number, but I do text too. So I can give you that stuff. But anyway, it's getting close to time. Most of the time TJ lets us out a little before 12, so I don't want him to kick me to the curb. But thank you. Thank y'all for listening. I'm going to pray in just a second, but thank you guys for listening. I know that foreign missions is not for everybody. It makes it real clear we all got different gifts, right? But I think everybody needs to be minded of it. Like TJ said, he wants everybody to at least know that those are out there. And this might not be the season for you. I was 40 years old before I went to Africa my first time. And now I try to go twice a year if I can. But before that, y'all got young kids, you got different priorities now. But everybody can pray, right? And when your time is right, we'll be here. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you so much, God, for being who you are, Lord. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus and for the truth and the love and the grace and the mercy that he's brought to us. And Lord, we pray right now as we mull over what little bit of information I've been trying to give, that you hide us behind the cross. It's got nothing to do with us. It's all about your kingdom being proclaimed all over the earth, right here in Madison, right here in Rockingham County, and all the way to Africa, India, wherever. And give us a clear understanding of our role in that. We know, Lord, that we're nothing without you, but we can do all things through you. So give us a clear calling, give us a clear understanding, and then give us opportunities, open doors, and give us wisdom and discernment to see them. And Lord, just have your will. We pray for this group of people. We pray that you strengthen us. I pray for anyone who's sick or any family members who are sick. I pray for comfort and healing. And I pray, God, that you help not only our church to grow, but individuals to grow as we seek you. And Lord, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.